Hello and welcome to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I am your host, Derek Caraview, and today we're going to be talking to Fernando Angulo, who is currently head of international partnerships at Semrush Incorporated, a digital marketing software company. He is actively involved in the search marketing world and is a regular speaker at digital marketing and e-commerce conferences and events worldwide. He is a specialist in competitive intelligence and competitors research, SEO and paid traffic strategies for e-commerce and online businesses, and is heavily involved in influencer marketing. We have a nice little conversation here with Fernando, who does not live too far away from us. And we find out whether or not he prefers Russian vodka after having lived in St. Petersburg, Russia for 20 years, or Czech beer for his new home in Prague, Czech Republic. Stick around for the answer to that one. Go ahead and grab yourself something nice to drink. Have a seat, sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Fernando. Okay, so Fernando, before we kick things off, could you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm going to say my whole name. My name is Fernando Angulo. I work for Semrush the last 6 years. I'm involved with digital marketing the last 10 years. I was working with several projects, online projects related to the hospitality industry, tourism industry, with the dating industry, with the automotive industry, and working with several e-commerce websites and blogs for different companies. And I started working to Semrush using different CRM systems. As a salesperson, then I started the marketing team, and finally I created the influencers team in different regions for Semrush. What I do now, I teach. I am the educational team. I make partnerships with different brands, with different influencers. So that's why right now I'm the head of international partnerships, because I'm traveling to every single country where we have big partners. Today, well, actually yesterday, I was in my 154th city. I was in 39 countries.
Wow.
Well, I need to go. I need to travel more. Some people are telling me that I need to travel less, but no, I need to travel more because we have several clients all over the world. That's part of my job, teaching about how to use tools, and also showing the experience on how to implement digital marketing in our in 2018.
Oh, well, great. That sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like pretty challenging work there.
It is, yes.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started here. Our first question for today is, other than this podcast, what's the best thing to happen to you this week?
Oh, that's amazing. I was in a meetup in a small town. Well, I believe it's small because it was fantastic in Chester in the UK. It was in a bar who has, I believe, like 400 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. People hearing about industry trends, about tools, taking a beer, you know, an English pub, mm-hmm. how it looks like, the sound. People were very happy asking questions, but drinking beer the whole night. It was really great.
I've had nights like that, but all right, sounds good. All right, so what have you completed from your bucket list?
Ooh, yes. From my bucket list, I was trying to understand the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. When I had my first daughter, I understood that. You got me there. You have kids?
I do. I have two kids. Yep.
Okay. Yes. Well, I understood the meaning of life, which is in kids. Well, it was for me. This is very personal, of course. Mm-hmm. But the meaning of life for me is my kids.
Oh, well, great. Yeah, kids are They're fascinating little creatures, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Especially when they're small and they need you everywhere. And they say, Papa, where are you going? And you say, I'm going to work. Can I go to work with you? Or, Papa, where are you going? I'm traveling in a plane. Oh, can I go to the plane with you? They always want to be with you.
Yeah.
You know the same thing.
Yeah. Because I have two. Mine are young. So my son is 4.5, and my daughter's only 15 months. So she's just happy to see me whenever I'm there. But I tend to take my son to school in the morning.
Yeah.
And I always tease him, and I say that today that he has to go to work and I get to go to school. And then he starts to laugh.
Cool, so yeah.
I'll hand him my glasses and say, you just go there and you say, hi, I'm daddy and I'm here to work. And they won't know any different.
Nice.
Okay. The fate of the world hinges on you singing a pop song from beginning to end at a packed karaoke night. What song do you sing to help save the world?
Oh, actually, that's a classic for me. When I am conference or events or workshop in Spain, especially in Alicante. Alicante is like the mecca of SEO in Spain. We have our karaoke place there, our favorite place, and with some fellows, some colleagues, some great friends, the song that we all that we all interpret is Despacito. Can you imagine that? Yes, it's Despacito. Yes, but actually, my top one on the list is My Way, Frank Sinatra, of course.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's My Way is your go-to karaoke song that's going to save us all.
Yes, that's a must always.
Okay, what's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, I love the jam and cheese sandwich with a little bit of mustard and onions. I can eat tons of that.
Okay, that does sound pretty good. Now, here's the controversial part. Do you cut your sandwiches in half or vertically?
Vertically.
Vertically. Okay. So you cut it the correct way. Good to hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you cut it in half, you're clearly a monster. Okay. What is your least favorite household chore?
Oh, yes. Of course, is actually, I love to do everything, but I'm a very organized person, but I don't love to clean the floor. I don't love to wash the balcony. Yes, that's something that I don't like to do. I don't know why. Maybe because everybody's seeing me from other apartments. I'm not wearing pants in my house, you know.
I'll remember that if I ever knock on the door. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When I Google Fernando is, what do you think will be among the first five results?
Well, actually, Fernando is a very, very common name in Spain, in Latin America, Cuba, United States. Mm-hmm. The first results are going to be people who are from Brazil. I know a photographer. I know a boxer as well. Mm-hmm. Very famous people.
Okay.
And then somewhere there is going to be me, of course.
Okay. So I'm not talking about your full name, because I did see a couple of different Fernando Angulo. Am I saying that right? Angulo?
Yes, okay. Angulo.
But if I just say Fernando is into Google, so no last name, no surname, what do you think is amongst the first five things people say about just Fernando in general?
Ah, you mean the suggestions?
Yes.
Okay. Fernando is conquistador, maybe. Fernando is a good fellow. I don't know. I didn't think about that. You tell me.
Okay. So I did this yesterday, and the top five are Fernando is faster than you.
Okay.
That's the first one. Fernando's faster than you. The second one is Fernando.
Fernando. Fernando. Okay. Yes, it's not Ricardo. It's not Roberto. It's Fernando. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I can't argue with that one. Fernando is hired as a seasonal firefighter.
Ooh.
Odd. I'm not really sure about that one. And Fernando is 60 inches tall.
Oh, wow. They know who are you talking about. Okay, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one is Fernando is quicker than you. So not only is Fernando faster, he's also quicker than me. So I felt like Google was coming at me a little bit. But all right. Yeah, so that's our Fernando is section.
Cool.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Okay. Now, if you weren't doing what you do, what would you be doing?
Actually, I several times was thinking about that. I definitely will be a chef in my own restaurant or working in different hotels network around the globe. I really love to cook. I will really like if I'm not anymore a marketeer, for example, or I started with some other leg at the day, I will definitely be a chef, a mega chef, cooking delicious food.
All right. So what's your go-to dish? What's your specialty? If you had to cook one meal to impress whoever, what's the meal that you're going to cook?
I really enjoy to cook tuna, the fresh one, with some rice and salad. Salad with olives oil. And of course, the tuna must be really fresh, and I will even boil the tuna or just using the fry pan to fry the tuna. That's really delicious because the tuna is already delicious. The second dish that I really enjoy to prepare is paella. I really love seafood paella.
I'm a big fan of that myself, yeah. I can't cook it, but I can eat the hell out of it.
It's very easy. Well, it seems to be very easy, but it has its own, how do you say that? It's own way. It's like you need to design the whole paella, putting some things first, then another things, and they make the whole complete together. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. When you get one of those that's done right, it is delicious.
All right. Are you hungry right now?
I am starving right now. Thank you.
Oh, no, yes.
All right. So one of the things that I'm most interested in from your bio as I'm looking through is this idea of influencer marketing. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that? What is that? What does that mean?
Well, influencer marketing is something not new. It was in our world for the last 2,000 years or more. Why? Because it's people who are talking with people, their own truth. It's people who are sharing their experiences to other people. And those people are getting audiences, are getting people influenced by the word. So it's word of mouth with several leaders or as we say, opinion leaders. And that's something really powerful. It was really powerful for the last 1,000 years. Right now, because we are in a really great technological era, it's been used by companies to amplify their voices, because nobody wants to hear a brand, because brands are very robotical, are not so human related. But if you have someone who can amplify, who can convert the voice of your brand and make it more human, humanizing your brand, that's something that is really powerful these days. And most of the companies are using influencers by different circumstances, like they are paying, they have win-win contracts, they have affiliate programs. So it's a great market to go with.
Okay. And I'm assuming that this is just maybe a version of influencer marketing. I'm assuming like a celebrity endorsement. Right. So that's one way we could, like, you know, Michael Jordan selling me Nike sneakers, that would come under influencer marketing, correct?
Yes.
Or is that a totally different thing?
No. There are different types of influencer marketing, of course. That depends of the company goals, the company size, because if you are a small business, you cannot go with Michael Jordan or anyone else, because celebrities, they love the money, they love to get well paid. And that's why they deserve, because they have already their popularity, millions of followers. But if you are in a very complex industry as digital marketing, for example, and analytics, big data, so you're not going to find Michael Jordan who can translate your big data or your attribute model for your company, because they are not doing that stuff. So you need to find micro influencers with, 50,000 followers, 100,000, 300,000 followers. They are also influencers, but they can translate, they can make the message of your company, or they can simplify the product that you are delivering, that you are trying to advertise to the masses. So celebrities, influencers, or micro influencers, that's also a part of influencer marketing.
Okay, and how did you get involved with this? What made this? What was appealing to this for you?
Well, when I started working for SEM Rush, the thing was that we really had, till now, a really good product, and people were mentioning it about SEM Rush in blogs, in forums, in different channels, social media, but we didn't have a way to communicate with them. And when we started to communicate with our audience, our clients online, we did it as most of the brands were doing it, like SEM Rush, like the brand, by people, okay, they're fine with talking with a brand, but that's very robotic. People want to talk with people. So we started connecting with different type of influencers. The ones that we selected were bloggers, second were book authors, third were bloggers, authors, and then professors of universities, and of course with speakers, event speakers, or webinars, online events. And we started working with them, showing them the latest updates that we make to our tool. And we didn't ask. That's the most common mistake, the error with working with influencers. We didn't ask them to talk about SEM Rush. Never. We didn't ask it for a favor. Never. We just gave them our tools for being used by them. And we say, if you can share your feedback with us, we'll be happy to hear that. But some of them, they really liked so much our products that by themselves, they were writing posts, reviews, tutorials, and that was fantastic. The whole world that we make, it took like 2 years, and we saw the first results after 2 years of work in several regions. Right now, we have a database of about 200 and more influencers all over the world. So they are talking, they are speaking in their conference about SEM Rush because they really like they really love the product.
Okay, so this comes initially from people just kind of talking about it on their own, and then you trying to harness that into something positive for the company.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. So I bet that, you know, it sounds like that's a bit of a challenge, but also probably a lot of fun in its own way. Is it? Do you enjoy reaching out to these type of people to get them to, I don't know, maybe amplify what they're already going to say, or do you find them sometimes difficult to work with, or what's your overall experience with it, dealing with influencers?
Well, that's the most amazing part, connecting with influencers, because some people think that influencers are something like gods, or they're stars, or they're living in different planets. But that's not the case. Influencers are people like you and me, but with the difference that they have thousands or millions of followers, but they want to trust to other people. They want to have friends. And when you are contacting with influencers, you need to be very open, very you need to be who you are in a daily base, not putting in your face a mask, for example. Mm-hmm. The more open you are with influencers, the more good relations you will have with them. So for an instance, when we started with working with influencers, everything was online by mail. We have beautiful templates. Designing a template for an influencer is also art, because when they're feeling that you are sending mass mails or mail blasters, they say, oh no, these guys again. I'm special, you know, and you're sending me something that you are just copy pasting for everyone. You need to make those templates feel like they are personal. So that was the most important part of our job. Right now, we know all these people face to face. We have created different meetups, different even personal private parties in different countries to meet these people, because they are really our friends. And for companies, this is just an advice for companies. Yeah. If you have an influencer marketing program in your company, you need to take care of those people who are held in that part, because if you are changing, you need to create the atmosphere inside the company to people who are working for you. They're gonna be friendly with people who are talking about your brand, so they need to meet each other at some time in your company in a different city. So you need to make real contact with them.
Okay, so that's nice personal touch to all that, and keeping things going. So that's great. We're going to move on to our second round here, where we play a little game called Would You Rather?
Sure.
All right, you ready?
I need to answer yes or not, or give an explanation?
Okay, you can explain if you want. Right? So you just choose one or the other. If you don't want to play that particular round, obviously you can pass. But and if you want to talk more about it, of course, you're welcome to. All right. Question number one, would you rather lose your email account with all of your emails or lose your phone with all of its data?
Phone.
Okay, you'd rather lose your phone?
Yes.
Okay. Would you rather cry every time someone says your name or have your name always horribly mispronounced?
Cry. Definitely cry. I will cry every time.
Okay. Would you rather have two belly buttons side by side or one nipple in the middle of your chest?
Oh, my God. let me think about a nipple.
Okay. Just one nipple in the middle of your chest.
Yes.
Okay.
Nobody's going to see that. This is my wife.
would you rather be trending on Twitter because of a horrible tweet you posted or have your picture used for a popular meme?
Oh, I love both, because negative PR is also PR. You're going to have the visibility as well. Can I choose both?
Sure. This one I'll let you choose both. All right. And our last one here, would you rather your shirt never quite fit or your pants never quite fit?
Oh, my God. I believe, yes, I'm traveling so much, I'm eating so much. Oh, okay. My shorts, definitely shorts.
No, okay, so your shirt never quite fits right, but your pants are fine, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. There you go. So one of the things that I would like to talk about, and you're talking about again, your past. Now, I know that you, for a long time, you were a travel agent, correct?
Yes, I was working as like a travel agent, yes.
Okay, so how did you make this transition from travel agent into SEO?
Yes, because I was a very special travel agent. I was not making any cold calls. I was not making any research by hand. I was using a platform, an online platform, to attract more clients. And we were using Clickstream data to find what our potential clients, what our prospects were searching on Google. So we had already all the information about the search queries. We had already information about which landing pages of our site clients were seeing more and how many times they were staying in a single product. So we were like experts using Google Analytics for our clients. So with already the knowledge that, I don't know, maybe one of our prospects were checking the one of our products for 10 minutes per day, then 15 minutes, we know that their interest was like big. And we didn't write any emails, we just call them. Of course, most of the people will freak out if you say, "I know that you're seeing my product for 10 minutes, 15 minutes," because they didn't know that. I'm talking about 10 years ago. So people will freak out. We just say, "We have some special offers for this tour or for this trip," and we already have the knowledge that, okay, this person is already interested in that because we saw that in our Google Analytics. So working with a very special travel agent, working with Google Analytics and with CRM systems, we move very fast in the industry. We grow up as a company very fast. But for me, it was a very nice experience. And I was checking that there were SaaS companies looking for Spaniards who spoke English, and I found Semrush. I don't know if I found them or they found me because I was living in Russia. I was living in Russia mm-hmm. for 20 years almost, and looking for native Spaniards in Russia, it's kind of difficult, you know, but with fluent Russian as well. So we found each other, and I get a love with the company because the structure of the company is so amazing. You can make your own decisions based on the experience, and you need to prove your results with the whole company. It's an agile company from the beginning till the end in every single process, the development, marketing, and even with customer success in every single level is an agile company.
Okay, so I can see that there. Now, as a travel agent, do you have any like funny stories of like terrible customers that you can share, without naming names, of course?
Oh, I have a lot of those. I have a lot of those. Some of those are very sad and funny at the same time, because I remember I had a customer in Malta. He was an English guy living there for his whole life, and I remember that I tried to sell him a cruise in the Mediterranean Sea. And I was calling him like 52 times already, trying to close the deal. And he was telling me that he didn't receive his salary, that he was sick, that his wife passed away, that he got cancer. So he can, yes. So every single evil in this earth happened to him, but he didn't want me to pay, but he was interested on keep that opportunity for the cruise because it was a great offer. And he was telling me so many stories about that. I remember that it was like, crying when he told me that he got cancer. I was very affected with that, but I believe he was lying because I saw his pictures, or maybe he defeated the cancer. 10 years of that has passed, and I saw his pictures. He's doing very, very well. Another story was a guy who wanted to meet the perfect wife in Russia, traveling to Russia, and he wanted us to create the trip, create the product, visiting different city, but having meetings with girls to find a wife for him. So that was very interesting as well. At the end, he met his perfect wife in Siberia, but she didn't want to move to United States. She wanted to live in Siberia. So he moved to Siberia just for a couple of weeks, and he understood that, no, it's too cold there to live.
Well, that's, yeah. You got to draw the line somewhere, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go on to our third round, which is the Elephate Lightning Round. So these are just going to be either-or questions. No need to elaborate unless you would like to. And then we'll just go on to the next question, okay?
Got it.
All right. Now, based on your experience as a travel agent, our first question here is the Love Boat or Fantasy Island?
Fantasy Island.
Nap time or hammer time?
Hammer time. Without any doubt.
Russian vodka or Czech beer?
Russian vodka, always.
Oh, okay. St. Petersburg, Florida or Toledo, Ohio?
St. Petersburg, Florida. I've been there.
Ah, okay. I lived in St. Petersburg for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
Right before I moved to Poland. Yeah. Iron Man or Batman?
Batman. Yes, but I love Marvel more than DC. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're more of a Marvel fan, but you do appreciate Batman more than Iron Man.
Yes.
Okay. Mojito or Cuba Libre?
Cuba Libre.
Okay. Nabokov or Dostoevsky?
Dostoevsky.
Professional cyclist or associate professor?
Associate professor.
Okay. So, yeah, I found people with your name with those. So I found a professional bicyclist and an associate professor. Okay. Ewoks or Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, Ewoks, of course. Jar Jar Binks are losers.
Baked or fried?
Fried.
Okay. And our final one. Now, this comes down to now, because you're originally from Spain. That's correct?
No, actually, I'm from Latin America.
Latin America. Okay.
Yes.
Whereabouts were you from originally? I couldn't find. I saw you have your listed as St. Petersburg as your hometown. So I know you lived there for a long time. But where are you from originally?
Yes, I'm from originally. Well, my parents were from Chile and Bolivia, so I have the two nationalities.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so now as a Spanish speaker, this is going to be maybe a little bit tough for you. Either you have to speak softly or not touch someone during a conversation.
Oh, that's kind of impossible. That's not a way to do that.
Got to choose. I've had an English guy have to choose between either skipping somebody in line or not saying sorry, and he had to choose one or the other. I had a German guy who had to choose between small talk or being late for a meeting. So they both answered, I need you to answer this: speak softly or not touch someone during a conversation.
Oh my God! Yes, that's a tough one. You catch me there. Not touching someone.
Okay. All right. So there you go. All right. So that is the Elephate Lightning Round. Well done.
Amazing. A lot of fun here, huh?
Yeah. We try to have a good time. So how did you end up in Russia for so long? I know you went to university in Russia, but what brought you there?
I was trying to study abroad. Mm-hmm. And my first choice was, of course, United States. But my father told me that every Latin America who is going to U.S. is mostly working than studying. So you're gonna work there. You need to go to a country that you don't know the language. You need to fight to get your profession. And I say, okay, I'm going to Spain. You speak already Spanish. It's nothing new with that. And I found two options to go abroad with a scholarship. And it was, the first option was China, and the second was Russia. I didn't knew anything about China, but I knew about the Soviet Union. I knew about Russia. And I said, okay, I'm going to Russia. I landed to Russia not knowing a single word, but I stayed there for 20 years.
Ah, fantastic. I would have to say, obviously, the hardest thing there would just be learning a different alphabet. It's one thing, you know, because being in Poland, at least I kind of recognized the letters when I first got here. There was some differences, obviously, but starting over with a whole new alphabet had to have been pretty intimidating.
It is. It is. It was very fun. But do you speak Polish right now?
Not nearly as much as I should. I mean, I understand it. Like my wife is Polish, but she only speaks to me in Polish when she's mad at me. So
oh, cool.
So when I hear Polish, I just assume I'm in trouble.
It sounds very nice, though.
Yeah. It's kind of like being attacked by drunken bees.
Drinking with, yes, because when someone is talking with you in Russian, sometimes like a little bit threatening to the sound of Russian, like, oh, сейчас я буду тебя ругать, потому что ты такой дурак. It's a very very rude sound for some people. For me, right now, it's like music. I really love the Russian language.
Obviously, I travel around a little bit, just being right here in the middle of Europe. And it's strange, like when I'm out, like if I'm in Germany or somewhere else, and then hearing a different language, and then just how comforting it feels to actually come back to Poland. Like, I don't know the language that well, but it's like, but at least it feels like home. Yeah. All right. So this brings us more or less to the end here. So do you have any final thoughts? Is there anything that you would like to promote? What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, actually, one of the things, traveling so much, knowing a lot of people in our industry, in the search industry, digital marketing industry, this is an amazing industry to be involved with. My suggestion for everyone is to be original, to be who you are, and to be part of one of the communities that for sure is next to you, is in your city. Just come to the meetups, just come to the seminars of growth hacking, of BPC, search, SEO, whatever digital marketing related is. Be part of this big community, and we will meet for sure in your town, in your hometown, in your country, and you're going to meet for sure magnificent people, brilliant people all over the world. We are in a really great industry who is evolving so fast and so deeply that you always be busy studying what's going to be next.
All right. Terrific. We thank you so much, Fernando, for joining us. We appreciate you having you coming onto the show. It's really great to be able to talk to you.
Thank you. A pleasure.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumay. Music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at Elephate SEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.